When you started reporting at King's Home in 1960, Mike, what were the reporting facilities like? How did you get your stories to the Citizen?
Well, they were much better than I had previously been used to, because I probably have to run to a telephone box in pouring rain and phone the newspaper story through to a copy taker, wherever it was. But Gloucester, it was really very sophisticated. I had a seat right in the middle of the front row of the old stand. And underneath this little desk, which was in front of me, there was a box containing a telephone and a handle which you had to wind. And you picked up the receiver, wound the handle, and somebody in the Citizen office with headphones on and a typewriter in front of him would take down what I'd written. I used to write the copy as the game was proceeding. I think there was sort of 500 words at half time and another 500 words at the full time with an intro paragraph at the end, and maybe a suggestion about the headline. And all this had to be taken down by some long-suffering copy taker in the Citizen office, and so on. And but that was quite good, you know, for those days. It was quite good facilities. I mean, some people, you know, as I say, had to go and find a telephone. And,
going back to those days, 1960-61, let's talk about the players, you know, who stick in your memory.
Yes. Well, I'm looking at this. I'm allowed to refer to this list. Yes. Looking down at this list, I remember them all very well. You know, Peter Ford, the captain, obviously, because he was such a good and effective wing forward. And then Alan Holder, very, very reliable fullback. And it was really quite a shame that he was... kicked out by the arrival of Don Rutherford in the later seasons, because he was an extremely good and effective fullback. He was a good place kicker, and he was reliable at fielding the ball and getting rid of it under pressure. Is that Dick Smith, D. Smith?
Yes, you've got Dick Smith and Bob Smith, I think, on that
list.
Oh,
yes, I do. Yes, I remember this confusion when I was reporting them. Dick Smith was always he played actually like a three-quarter in the sense that he was very quick, and so was Bob Smith. Bob Smith was a centre, wasn't he, or something like?
I think Bob Smith played centre and wing.
Centre and wing, yeah. And then, of course, the immortal Terry Hobson, who was, to my mind, the most perfectly equipped fly half I've ever seen, because he could do everything and was immensely talented. I think vulnerable is the word to use, you know, particularly if we went down to Llanelli or Cardiff or one of the really quite determined and firm Welsh clubs. They would try and give Terry a very good going over in the first five minutes of the match.
You mean where the home referee wasn't going to provide much protection?
Yes, very unlikely that he would have any mercy, poor old Terry, or poor young Terry. No, he was wonderful, a very good partner for Mickey Booth, and Alan Brin, very good second row forward, came from Herefordshire, I think.
I guess that was the very start of Alan Brin's career.
And he got England caps. But I thought when he was first picked for England, he played in the front row, which was surprising because he was very big and very tall, and he didn't look like a prop. But I thought they selected him as a prop. And I could be wrong. It's just Jack Folk, wonderful front row forward, prop. Hal Simmons, excellent in the line-out. Very good player, was quite mobile and also very, very good in the line-out. And then there was Gary Mace, and Gary Mace was, he was built almost like a wing forward. He was quite a big, for a scrum half, he was very big. And very, very good runner with the ball. He had the longest dive pass I think I've ever seen. Wonderful and quick and so on. And he was threatening to take Mickey Booth's place, but in fact, you know, Booth was such a good player with the pack, and I think Mace was the sort of fly half who would get the ball to the three quarters, while Mickey tended to play to the pack. And Russell Hillier, apart from being a very amusing chap, was at parties and post-rugby game proceedings, if that's the word. But he was a very reliable kicker and very reliable in defence as well.
Yes, he kicked a lot of points for the club, didn't he?
Yes, yes.
I should explain that we're looking through lists which are copies of the names which appear on the honours board in the Lion's Den.
Yeah.
Let's move on to later years and see if we can pick out some more names. Right?
Gary White, I remember. Was he a prop?
Or a second row? He was a back row, wasn't he?
Back row, yes. A wing forward, that's it. Mm-hmm. Now, he was a great fitness fanatic, I remember. He trained a lot, very hard indeed. And did he have a sort of trial for England, or was there a time
I think he may have done, in consideration? Yeah, he came from Somerset, didn't he? Bristol, did he? I think he played for Somerset, didn't he, Gary White?
I don't know,
Gloucestershire, I
believe. Remember.
Yeah, and he took over from Peter Forward.
That's right.
Back row.
Yes, yes, yeah. He's a very good player.
Mm.
Yeah.
Can you, can you give us your recollections of Don Rutherford?
Well, he was much anticipated when we heard that he was thinking of coming to Gloucester. And so we looked out eagerly for how he played and so on. And I remember when he first turned out for Gloucester, he was very accurate at gathering the ball. And B, this old sixpence thing again, he could turn very quickly and deliver the ball to a nice long selected shot along the touchline. He was, but I think the thing I remember about him was the sort of precision of his playing. He was a very precise technician when it came to playing among the backs. And he was quite quick too. He could move. And he liked to join in with the three quarters. He wasn't by any means a defensive fullback. And he actually liked to get the three quarters into the game, which in many Gloucester matches, you know, the three quarters didn't have a lot to do, as it was. They always had this immensely strong pack that could trundle up and down the line and win matches with a sort of power and strength. And strength in the set scrums and so on.
So Don Rutherford coming in with rather different ideas on the game, did he have a significant impact on the coaching of the side?
I wasn't aware of too much of that side of things. I mean, my role, I thought, was to watch the matches and report on them. But I think that he did have a big influence on Gloucester, and there was a lot more attention to training and fitness after Don Rutherford appeared. I mean, he was a very, very fit man anyway, as fit as anybody one had ever seen playing rugby, I think. I think that was something to do with the fact that he was a teacher, wasn't he? He was a sports teacher.
Physical education teacher
from
St. Luke's, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was up to him to keep fit anyway, but he was an exemplary sort of fitness